Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Boston Red Sox lose the series, falling in Game 2 to the Angels by a score of 3-2. Another one-run loss, another extra innings loss, in a wasted crochet gem that should leave all onlookers quite frankly disgusted. Their record on the season will fall below 500 once again, sitting at 40-41. I'm Nick the Voice, joined tonight just by Jason Kelly, and we are the Bastards of Boston. And if you want more, you can go to bastardsofbostonbaseball.com for great written articles. Now, where do we start with this? Obviously, we can compliment the pig himself. Crochet had a beautiful, beautiful outing. Chapman looked great, too. Unfortunately, that's about all there really is to compliment, aside from a couple nice defensive plays by guys like Meyer and Eaton. Where do you want to start?
I think I'm going to start with... Was this the most predictable loss of the season so far? I mean, as soon as it got late in the game and it was still just 1-0 and the offense hadn't produced anything against that Angels bullpen, you just knew. You knew as soon as they took Crochet out, it's like someone's going to give up the big one. Someone's going to do it. It was Weissert tonight, gives up the big homer to Christian Moore, and that was predictable. You saw that coming a mile away. Then you get to extra innings. Red Sox actually take the lead. They actually get a nice piece of hitting. They drive in a run. You go, all right, 2-1. Now just, for the love of God, nail it down so that we can escape out of here with a win. And as soon as I saw Justin Wilson come in, I'm like, oh, no, this ain't the guy. He's not going to close it down. He's going to give up, some stupid hit. Sure enough, he does. And it's a walk-off. Just so predictable. This is what happens when you don't back up your ace with run support. You lose a stupid game like this in extra innings against a bad team. And you got to feel for Crochet. I mean, the guy gets traded away from an awful team in Chicago that had no offense, that didn't give him any run support, to an awful team in Boston that gives him no run support. Like, he's probably sitting there going, I should have signed that extension. That was stupid. I should have waited it out. These guys stink. It's not good enough. So for once, I will say they played a clean game. That's, on the positive side of things, they didn't play stupid tonight. Actually made some good defensive plays. The base running was pretty solid. The offense is just lifeless. They just don't have anything right now. And this is what happens when you take a big bat out of the middle of that order, who maybe could have provided you with a little bit more, but, can't have that. And we were told that the Red Sox would be better for that trade. Does it look that way? Sure doesn't to me.
It's bad. It's really bad. Abreu coming back, he's been good so far since coming back from the injury. I think 3-game hitting streak for him so far. It was his birthday tonight, had 2 at-bats, got a nice hit right at the end there, kept our hopes alive a little bit, but just really bad offense all around. And it's like you said, you lose Bregman, you trade Devers, and you're not really left with all that much else. I mean, this was not a good performance. Funnily enough, really, the only guy who had a hot game at the plate tonight was Meyer. Marcella Meyer, funnily enough, I believe all of his hits coming off of lefties. He looked great. Just extra base hits, good speed, great defense. He was playing second base tonight. Really did some run prevention, you know, swatted a ball down. That story nearly threw by him. Really tough stuff. Eaton, of course, made that beautiful Superman stretch to get out of base runner. The Angels actually made more mistakes than the Red Sox did tonight. But ultimately, if you can't hit a guy like Tyler Anderson, there's not much else you can do to win a game. I mean, one run, only two hits, two walks versus Tyler Anderson. He only went 4.2 innings, but not good enough at any level. You know, there were a lot of hard struck balls for the Red Sox tonight, a lot of warning track flyouts, but there were a lot of those for the Angels too. It was strange. I don't know what the wind was doing, but it seemed like this could have been just solo shot after solo shot. And instead it turned into a war of attrition where the Sox once again drop a one-run loss in extra innings. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It really gets to a certain point where something needs to be done. The team needs a bat desperately. If we have any desire to compete this year, it's becoming more and more obvious. Just Bregman coming back, I don't think is enough.
I agree with you. Yeah, Bregman coming back will be huge to get him back. Like, that's great. It's not enough, though. And you have to look at some of the other guys in your lineup that should be producing. Like, Jaron Duran is going backwards this year. I mean, especially against lefties, he's kind of useless against lefties, and we don't really talk about it, but Cora is now starting to bump him down the lineup against lefties. He didn't do that at all last year. And, you know, Duran's had some bad defensive plays, and now there's this whole thing where he's feuding with the Boston media, and, you know, that's getting uglier and uglier. You know, Maz is dropping hits that, you know, he's kind of the guy in the locker room that rallies the team against the media. So I don't love hearing that. That sounds like Alex Verdugo all over again. So he's not producing. Narvaez has started to go backwards, which you can hardly blame him. He's a catcher. He's not supposed to be a big offensive producer, but they were leaning on him for a while. I mean, that's how bad it got, right? With Devers out, Bregman gone, like, they bumped Narvaez to the number four spot because they were just so, you know, he caught fire and they were so desperate for offense, but that's not who he is as a player. So you're right. Like, yeah, you'll get Bregman back, but you need more. And this is where Craig Breslow has to put his money where his mouth is, because he made that Devers trade and, you know, it's financial flexibility. You know, we're going to be buyers. This allows us to even be more aggressive at the deadline because now we can take on money and that's okay. All right, fine. You better go out and make some damn good trades then, because, you know, Bregman coming back, Yoshida maybe eventually joins the lineup. Maybe that helps a little bit. At least he can put the ball in play. But yeah, they need to be aggressive at the deadline. They definitely need to add a bat. I don't know who they're targeting. I don't know if they have anyone specific in mind, but it's got to be someone significant. I don't want just some bum from the Marlins that, you know, you could get cheap and, oh yeah, he's hitting like 270 this year. No, like, you need something of impact, because this offense is just atrocious right now, and they do need more than just Bregman coming back.
Yeah, you know, and wouldn't just some guy really be the perfect Red Sox acquisition? That's what we've been doing for years. It's going to be some guy that you've never heard of. I think the last impact bat that we really traded for mid-deadline would probably be Schwarber back in 2021. That was brilliant. Worked out great. I wish we extended him, honestly. I think he would have fit in nicely in a sort of passing of the torch from J.D. Martinez's era as DH to a Kyle Schwarber. We can dream. But at this point, I just don't know what you can do. I mean, Christian Campbell, I'm glad that he's down in AAA. I'm glad that, you know, he's refining his mechanics, along with Hauk, who, I don't know, did you see how he's doing down there? Not good so far.
Yep. Oof, ugly.
So I immediately have to take back what I said last night about, okay, well, maybe Hauk can get ready to return soon and sort of step into Buehler's role. That's not going to happen. David Hamilton, what is this guy doing offensively? I drive myself crazy sometimes, because at first it was me yelling at Cora, why are you batting Toro versus lefties over a guy like Meyer? And now tonight, he pinch hit Toro for Eaton, and then he substituted Toro out because Toro doesn't really do that well versus lefties, which was good. But if you're going to put David Hamilton in the slot, I mean, what are we doing? I don't know. It's tough. It's hard to watch. Guys like you know, Ref Snyder are good. He got on base to lead off tonight. It seems like Ref Snyder and either Abreu or Yoshida probably when he comes back. That could be a nice platoon for sure. But when you're 2-5 or 2-6 or 2-through anything aren't good, if you can't win a one-run game, Crochet throwing a gem, I mean, looking filthy. A couple little control issues, 3 walks you don't like to see. But I'm not going to split hairs if you're striking out 10 guys and only giving up 3 hits. It's just frustrating. It really gets to a point where it's frustrating. As we get closer to the deadline, I think names will get tossed around. I've already seen a few. Ryan O'Hearn is a guy that I've mentioned. I've wanted him really ever since Casas went out. I mean, I was like, let's jump on that right away. But I understand the Orioles may be wanting to wait for the value to increase on that. What we need, though, is for Craig Breslau to step up, exactly like you said. And I feel like he really dug himself into a hole with those comments he made post-Devers. Not just trading Devers, but saying that he thinks we can be better without him. That is a foot-in-the-mouth moment. And that is Craig Breslau writing checks that I don't think he's capable of cashing.
And I think that's why there is, like, discontent within the organization, because he says these things and there's probably guys in the room going, oh, Craig, what? Don't say that. Like, you can justify the trade or you can say, you know, you stand behind your actions, but don't say you're better off without one of the best left-handed hitters in baseball. That's just stupid. And like, everyone knows it's a stupid comment. So you're right. Like, he's put himself kind of in a corner here because now he does have to be ultra aggressive at the deadline. And as we know, every trade deadline, the prices go up. So is he going to be willing to part with his precious prospects to make a big deal? You know, if someone asks for the password, you know, Yostinson Garcia at the deadline for one of these hitters, is he going to be willing to do it? Or is he going to shy away? Because I think Breslau has a little bit of that high and bloom in him where he loves his prospects and he doesn't want to give them away, you know, willy-nilly. I mean, he gave away for Garrett Crochet, but that's understandable. That's a legit ace. And you know, obviously they signed him to the extension, so that was a good move. But he didn't want to part with Kyle Teal. He didn't want to part with Braden Montgomery, but he had to. And at this deadline, it's going to be no different. I mean, you know, people in our chat room kind of throwing around some names. And yeah, there's those that's already started, right? And some of the Red Sox, their names have been tossed around. Duran and Bregman, right? There was that ESPN article sort of saying, here are the top players I can move. The Diamondbacks are probably going to move some of their guys. Their season's not going the way they kind of hoped. Josh Naylor is a name on that list. He'd be great. He's a first baseman, you know, awesome hitter. I loved him in Cleveland. I was surprised that Cleveland kind of let him go. But guess what Josh Naylor is going to cost you? He's probably going to cost you maybe Christian Campbell. He might cost you, you know, this Franklin Arias, this shortstop that's doing really well down there, or David Sandlin. Like, it's going to be names that Breslau is not going to want to part with. And that's where I go, okay, buddy, you said you're going to be aggressive, but how aggressive are you willing to be? Because it's not so much being aggressive, taking on money from other players' contracts and other teams. It's being aggressive with trading away your prospects and trading away from your farm system that, you know, has been building for so many years here. That's what it's going to cost you. It's not so much money. It's the prospect capital. And I think Breslau could balk a little bit when he starts, when those asks start coming in. So I worry about his willingness to actually go forward with that.
Yeah, I would too. I think everyone really should, because right now Breslau, I always say Breslau for some reason. I saw someone joke with me that I should just keep doing it as a sign of disrespect until he fixes the season.
I think you should. Yeah, why not?
I always say it like it's Polish, but, you know, he really needs to put his money where his mouth is at the end of the day. A guy like Naylor or a guy like O'Hearn, the nice thing about those guys is their contracts are up at the end of the year, so it might diminish the value a little bit. But then you sort of go back to the Houston Astros with that Yusei Kikuchi trade last year and how they kind of paid out the nose for that guy. He was just a rental too, and he was having a very good year. We're facing him tomorrow, funnily enough. So it just seems like not only in terms of the monetary value of players, but even the prospect value, it seems like inflation is hitting baseball hard. It's going to be hard to see where we're at. But my fear at this point is that when the deadline comes around and it's time for guys to really be moved, fire sale style, I'm afraid we're going to be out of it. I mean, a game under 500 again. I forget what our record on the road trip is, I think this cements us as a losing record on the road trip. We might be able to get back up to 500 tomorrow. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's just brutal. It's really brutal. And like you said about Crochet, he goes from one pair of socks to another, both of them smelling, you know, it's not good. You have a guy like Chapman. I feel so bad for this guy because, again, he comes out tonight, nails, looked a little scary at a time, saw a little bit of, you know, he throws a ball into the dirt, but three strikeouts. I mean, you got to love that. But what I feel so bad for Chapman over is the fact that how many games has our closer come out in a tie? That's ridiculous. You put a guy like Chapman on a team with a real offense, with a steady rotation. I mean, who even knows how many saves this guy is going to accumulate? The guy's been ridiculous for us. And I'm sorry to say that at 37 years old, he's kind of wasting this brilliant season on us.
Yeah, and I look at him as a guy that I would sell on. I would sell high right now. And look, I still want the Red Sox to compete. I still want them to try and make a run at the postseason. I don't think you need to hold on to Aroldis Chapman to do that. You're going to get Justin Slayton back at some point. I'd have no problem just slotting him right into the closer role. Maybe even Whitlock. I know he's been kind of up and down, but if you keep him to just one inning, maybe that helps. I mean, they mentioned on the broadcast, like, people forget that the Royals got Cole Reagans for Aroldis Chapman, like, 2 years ago, whenever that was. I mean, that was a heist. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Teams get stupid at the deadline. You could easily find that version for yourself. You could find your own version of the Cole Reagans trade for Aroldis Chapman, the way he's going right now, because inevitably, someone's going to need more bullpen help, or someone is not confident in their closer, and they go, you know what? We're willing to give you this for Aroldis Chapman. That's what they should be doing. Look, I want them to compete. I want them to try. But sometimes you just have to do the smart thing. And with a guy like Chapman, the smart thing is to sell. Because what are you going to do? You're going to extend him? Like, no. Because I've heard that, too. It's like, oh, they should be reaching out to Chapman for a 2-year extension. I don't want Chapman beyond this year. This was lightning in a bottle, what you're getting from him. Because he's starting to go down a scary road at this point in his career. The walk rate is still really high with him. It was really high last year with Pittsburgh. So at some point, the cliff is going to come and he's going to fall right off. So he's not going to do this till he's 40. Like, he's just not. He's a guy they should be selling high on. And then, you know, maybe just not even sell high. Again, if you do a Cole Reagans type deal, that helps you. Go see if there's a starter that you identify that could be really good for you and try and make a deal like that. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah. You know, the problem with the bullpen right now is it feels like it seems like I'm losing some faith in certain guys that I thought were going to be nails early on in the year. I thought Whitlock was going to be nasty. He's been good, but shaky. And Weiser is another guy I thought was going to be nasty. And honestly, as the days are going on, he's been good, but I'm a little concerned about what I'm seeing with him. I mean, he came out, he had that really bad game just a few days ago versus the Giants, gave up 2 runs, only 1 earned, but 2 hits ultimately in 0.2 innings. And now, I mean, tonight, he looked straight up bad, honestly. You look at some of the underlying metrics, the strikeouts aren't all that impressive. They're about average. The walks are a little better than average. He's looking like a solid bullpen arm, but not necessarily that lights out guy I was hoping he'd be. And that's not to say he won't take that step forward, but he's older than I think a lot of people might realize. He's 30. I mean, I know he just got here. I know you feel like, oh, well, he was a throw-in for the Verdugo trade along with Dick Fitz. So you think, okay, well, we got two young guys. Not really. And relievers, they're so flip-floppy, you know, great 1 year, bad another. I still like Weiser. Don't get me wrong. I think that he's a good guy, but he's not necessarily that lights out setup man that I thought he was developing into earlier in this year. And, you know, maybe it's a fluke. Maybe it's just a couple of bad starts. Overall, his numbers are very good. Even his numbers in June with the 2 bad outings are very good. But I'm just a little concerned, especially just with the number of games. We were overusing Bernardino in May. I mean, this was his 12th appearance in June already. So he's pitching every other day. It's scary stuff. I mean, we need Slayton back. We need Hicks to get healthy and rejoin. well, not rejoin, but join us, you know? And it's just a shame. It's a real shame because Wilson and Weiser both have been good, but guys are going to give up a run. It's going to happen. You know, no one's going to have a perfect ERA, certainly. It really, tonight, it all comes down to the offense. You know, you can say a lot about Weiser or Wilson, but this team needs to produce.
Yeah, and that's, I saw a lot of people, you know, getting pissed at Weiser at the end of the game. Like, you guys are missing the point. This isn't on Weiser tonight. It's not on really Wilson either. This is what happens when your margin for error is none. Like, you have no margin for error because your offense gave you nothing. You have a one-run lead the entire game. Like, your offense doesn't give you 3-4-run leads. Well, they do to Walker Buehler, and then he pukes it all away. But generally, this offense doesn't do that. You're playing in a ton of tight games, and that means that these guys are coming out, they're pitching high-stress innings, because as soon as a guy gets on base, they're squeezing the ball a little bit tighter. They're getting, you know, they're sweating a little bit more because they go, man, if I, you know, this guy gets knocked in, we have a tied ball game, and, you know, I'm going to get booed. Like, all these guys are exhausted. That bullpen is just exhausted, and it's a combination of that, the high-stress situations, and also just your starters are not going deep. Crochet is the only guy who's going deep into games. Giolito has kind of started to do it, but if he gets tuned up, he's going to be out of there by the second inning. Walker Buehler hasn't been doing it because he gets tuned up. Brian Baio never does it, right? I mean, his last couple of starts has been a little bit better, but Baio typically is getting pulled by, you know, the end of the fourth inning. So your starters don't go deep enough, and your offense gives you no margin for error. These relievers are stressed and they are exhausted, and that's why you're not seeing the best of them. That's why you're seeing a guy like Weiser serve up a meatball to Christian Moore tonight. I mean, that pitch was terrible, and he knows it is, but he doesn't have the usual juice that he would if he was on a regular rest schedule or, you know, not pitching in tight games all the time. So you're right. Like, they need Slayton back. Hopefully Jordan Hicks gets healthy and gives you something out of the bullpen. I know he didn't make it as a starter, so he kind of has no choice at this point, but I don't have a ton of faith in him. He kind of seems like another one of these guys that just throws from his ass and throws 99, doesn't know where it's going. So that could be a little bit scary. That, you know, this Jorge Alcala that picked up from the Twins was really good a couple of years ago, and now he's fallen off, and they're hoping to resurrect his career a little bit. I don't know. It's just, it's more just dumpster diving, and, you know, unfortunately, if they do trade Chapman away, it makes your bullpen even weaker, but this is where you're at. I mean, you know, you're kind of, I don't know, you're hanging on by a thread, this team, so it's not good.
Yeah, you've said it. I've seen a couple of chatters say the same thing, and I agree completely. It's just down to usage. It really is. What's a real shame is a guy like Giolito, a guy like Baio, you know, they've taken steps forward in the past month. They've had some great starts, but they started out shaky. They've had their bad outings. And it seems like if it's not them, they settle in just in time for Buehler to just completely poop his pants on television over and over again, and for Dobbins to go on the IL, you know, after pooping his pants, quite funnily. So it just seems like we can't necessarily get ourselves into a rhythm. We knew when the pitching staff was great for that little stretch of games, we knew this isn't sustainable. You got to pitch good games. You've got to hit good in games. You've got to get your runs up to that 4-5 mark is where you want it to be. You want to keep your opponents around that, well, really below 4-5 mark. You want it to be 3 or lower, right? That's the ideal. And we just have not had a lot of those. It seems like when the pitching staff is on, the hitters are off. When the hitters are on, the pitching staff is off. And if we can't get on the same page soon, I just want us to punt. I want us to wave the white flag and say, look, if we're 5 games under 500, you know, by the All-Star break, again, you know, if we pretty much fall back to where we were before that great stretch against the Yankees and the Rays, then we really do just need to cut our losses and build up for next year. It's a shame, you know, and you're right. I see someone say, George White say, we're the kings of attempted resurrection. That's really what Boston has been. We've been a retirement home for many years now, and it's getting very tiresome. I like the fact that we brought in Chapman, and with guys like Hicks and Alcala, we're adding some real velocity to the pen, which it seems like, you know, the Sox have sort of been avoiding almost for many years. It's been a while since we've had real flamethrowers, but at this point, I mean, you've got to be good, right? I don't care if you throw fire if you're not good. Guy like Hicks, they say, can be good in that role as a reliever. Guy like Chapman has been good, but I don't know. I don't know. It's getting rough. One guy who I don't want to sell, without question, is Alex Bregman. I think trading him would be an absolute disaster. I've seen a couple people speculate it. Like you said, that article that came out that caused a lot of hullabaloo, without a doubt. But, I mean, it's right to float the idea because he's going to be coveted, certainly. But now I'm also hearing some whispers that they're working out potentially extending him and getting that contract to a more stable position, which for me, if you asked me at the start of the season, I would say, no, his contract is perfect. We'll get him during his prime years. We'll pay $40 million a year, whatever it is. And then, you know, we have Devers, right? But now without that, I mean, you have to keep Bregman around. So hopefully they can work something out that's reasonable for both parties. One thing for sure, I don't want a 40-year-old on my team.
Yeah, and that's, you know, they will have to explore that with Bregman now that Devers is gone, because his contract leaves you very vulnerable. Those opt-outs are a killer. So, you know, if he does opt out and you get nothing for him and he just walks, then you're empty at third base. I mean, that's the devastating part about it. Like, you'd have to put Marcelo Meyer there full time, and he's a shortstop. He shouldn't be playing third base, but you have nothing else. I mean, Blaze Jordan is not going to, you know, slam the door down and, you know, be the next superstar here. Sorry. Like, you know, he just got to AAA. Like, so I think they do have to explore an extension with Bregman, but I'm with you. Like, if it gets goofy, if he starts asking for 7-8 years, you know, 35, 40 million per, like, no, at that point, even though it would really suck and it would be the total white flag move, you got to look into trading him, because if you can get a really great package for him at the deadline, then you might as well, because it's better than letting him walk for nothing. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I wouldn't be surprised if Duran gets traded. I think that conversation is starting to heat up. I think that there are guys in the clubhouse and there are people in the front office that are kind of done with him and are very frustrated with him, especially not just the, you know, the temper tantrums, getting ejected and kind of being against the media, but just the dumb plays. I mean, dropping fly balls, you know, I feel like every time there's a runner on second and there's a ground ball to left, Duran just, his immediate thought is, I'm going to chuck this to home plate. I'm not even going to look to see if the runner's going to home plate. I'm just going to chuck it there anyway. And luckily for him, Nate Eaton cuts it off and saves his ass and actually makes a good play. Like, that's the problem. It's just, Duran is showing you that, yes, he's talented. He's also kind of a meathead. And, you know, doesn't exactly make the right play every time. And if he's got an attitude problem along with that, then, yeah, it, you know, if they trade Rafael Devers for not wanting to play first base, they'll trade Duran for being a pain in the ass. So I wouldn't be surprised to see both those things happen. And then they say, you know what, it's development year. You know, we got to see Roman Anthony play a full, you know, or at least the rest of the season. We got to see Meyer play the rest of the season. Well, you know, what happens with Christian Campbell? You know, bring Yoshida back up, get him back up to speed, all of that. Like, I think it's headed that way, especially, like you said, if they get to the All-Star break and they're five or more games under 500, you've got to sell. I mean, at that point, you're not going to climb out of it at that point. Like, who's, even if Bregman comes back, like we talked about earlier, that's not going to be enough. And you have no pitching coming through that door either. Carter Crawford's probably not going to pitch this year. Patrick Sandoval, give me a break on that one. Yeah. Like another James Paxton type of deal. Like, no thanks. I don't have any confidence in that either. So yeah, I think if they get to the All-Star break and they are underwater, you're going to start to see the sell-off.
Definitely. And it's a shame that Buehler is falling off so badly, because he was a guy who early in the season, I was like, well, when it comes to the trade deadline, you know, we might be able to get something for him. That's not looking like it's going to happen. Although, if Giolito continues to pitch well, he could actually sort of swap roles with Buehler in that regard. And I agree. It's bad. It's ugly. You know, Roman Anthony tonight, I did just want to shout him out. He had some real good at-bats tonight. Didn't get all of that, you know, result that people are looking for and waiting for. But I feel like it's almost only a matter of time with him. It feels kind of inevitable. He had that, what was it? Was it 11? I think I have it written down. Yeah, an 11 pitch at bat for Roman Anthony, and he got called, he struck out on a called strike that was way low and inside. Like, it should have been a walk without question. And then he smoked three balls tonight, you know, 107 mile per hour ground out, 99 mile per hour ground out, both with pretty decent expected batting averages if you're into that sort of thing. Another line out that was smoked, hit pretty hard. He's got a great bat speed. He's got a good eye. I feel like with a guy like that, it's only a matter of time. He made a pretty decent catch on the warning track too. He was one of the many guys. Outfield was busy tonight, but that was nice to see, as opposed to Duran, who did make a nice catch over towards foul territory. But you're right about that throw. Eaton was the superhero on that. He even looked like Superman. That was not a designed cutoff, I don't think. If it was, then Duran missed him pretty badly. Eaton sort of took the bull by the horns and went out and got that ball and somehow, I mean, dove back to really beat the runner to the bag. Just an amazing play and a lot more hustle and a lot more heads-up baseball than we've actually seen from some of the guys on this roster so far this year, which is frustrating.
Yeah, for sure. And look, Nate Eaton is he's a 4A player. He's bounced around a bunch of different teams, but he at least has good baseball IQ, and you know that can help. I mean, that helped them tonight. You know, unfortunately, they still lost, but that was a great play by him. And that seriously, like, that was a heads up. Like, you know, good on him for making that play. I agree with you about Anthony. It's a matter of time. He's going to start coming on here, and you know, exit velocity when you hit the ball that hard, like, that's an indicator of you're going in the right direction. You know, he's not missing. He's barreling the ball. It's just a lot of bad luck. Right. That combined with the plate discipline and him seeing the ball that well to have these long at bats. Yeah, it's a matter of time. You were so right about the strikeout. That was not strike three. That was ball four. I mean, that was ridiculous. So, you know, if the ABS system was in play, he could have challenged that and he probably would have won.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt. So he's taking his walks. He's hitting the ball hard. He's getting there. You know, we saw it with Meyer tonight. Meyer had a great night tonight. Like, he was kind of going a similar way. Like, he had a lot of bad luck early on, too, because he was hitting the ball hard. It just wasn't going anywhere or was going right at somebody. Now he's starting to heat up. Same thing will happen with Anthony. So that's at least something you can kind of look forward to. I know it's tough. Like, some of these games are just brutal. I mean, especially these West Coast ones where it's like, you know, it's getting later and later. And you're like, oh, God, you guys blew it again. Like, why did I stay up for this? You know? It can be tough, but I think the emergence of Meyer and Anthony is going to be something that can at least keep you tuned in, because I think those guys, by the end of the season, they're going to prove that they're legit, and it's going to give you something to really hang your hat on.
Yeah, definitely. You know what's funny is even though they have vastly, vastly, like night and day, vastly different approaches, Anthony's sort of debut so far, it's kind of reminding me of how Rafaela started the season, where he was just smoking the ball. He was hitting it so hard and so well, and it would always find a glove. And we kept saying it. I saw a lot of people giving up on him early in the season, saying, oh, this guy sucks. Oh, he's not a real hitter, all this. And, you know, a lot of people were looking at the expected stats, saying, well, I mean, look at the exit velocity. Look at where he's hitting it. Look at all this. I think this guy is going to break out. And now, for over a month now, he's been hitting the ball really well, and it's not finding those gloves. I think, Anthony, it's going to be the same thing. And just like you said with Meyer as well, tonight was a great game for him. Defensively, offensively, he really is just a complete package. At this point, I mean, just try to win. Just go out there, try to win. But some changes need to be made. Play a little more situational baseball. We maybe bunted, last night twice. Maybe Vasquez needs to talk to Cora about that philosophy. Because I felt like there was at least a moment or two where we could have tried to buy ourselves a run. But then, you know, you get guys on base, and of course you're trying to clear them. You know, of course you're trying to hit a double or something like that, especially against the Angels, and it just wouldn't work. You know, it was a shame. It was a frustrating game. It's more of the same. I did see, I forget who said it, but someone said we're 3-5 on the road trip. So even if we win tomorrow, we are guaranteed to have a losing road trip. The West Coast is always tough. I don't know who makes these schedules, you know, but I think I saw that the Yankees are already done with the West Coast. Like, they got it all out of the way up front. That's tough. Good on them, you know, because going back out there really, really sucks. You know, the back and forth across the country trips takes a lot out of guys. Hopefully we can go home. We can settle in. But tomorrow, just try to avoid this sweep. Try to hit Yusei Kikuchi and hope that Richard Fitz can sort of come back to who he is, you know, who he's been in the past. It's going to be a lot of ground balls from him, you can expect. Hopefully, with the defense, we can figure that out.
Yeah, this should be a somewhat soft landing spot for Fitz. You know, he sort of talked about how he knew he was rushed back after, you know, his last injury, and he kind of really took his time. He feels like he's built up now. Again, this Angels lineup is not that good. Just don't pitch to Zach Neto and don't groove one to Mike Trout and you're fine. The rest of that lineup really isn't going to hurt you that much. So, yeah, it should be a good soft landing spot for him. It's tough going up against Kikuchi, you know, especially this Red Sox lineup. And, you know, it's going to be more Ref Snyder leadoff, Romy hitting third. Like, that's just really uninspiring. Hopefully the kids get to play. I think Meyer kind of, you know, showed Alex Cora, like, hey, I can handle lefties. Don't worry about me. So we'll see what the lineup looks like. But, yeah, just try to get, you know, give Fitz, an early start. Like, go out there, get a couple runs on the board early. You know, let him settle in a little bit. See if he can go, you know, 5-6 innings and just, you know, just try to close it out. So, you know, you're not going to win the series, but at least win the game tomorrow and then head back home. You know, you'll be done with the West Coast for a while. Maybe that helps their mentality a little bit.
Definitely. You know, it'll be interesting to see the greeting this team gets when they go back to Fenway. I've seen a lot of people speculate, oh, well, they kind of need to get a Bregman extension, you know, just to have a solid crowd. Because obviously the last time we were in Fenway, Devers was on the team. They go off, they send him off right as they're leaving for the West Coast. And that's going to cause a lot of bad blood. Ultimately, winning games is the cure-all. You can trade anyone you want so long as you're going to win. But if you're going to start losing, you can't keep that goodwill. So we'll see what happens. I don't think, you know, you extend Bregman right now. Let him come back from the injury, see what happens. Unless Boris is willing to give you a deal, which I doubt. a nice little discount for Alex Cora. Hey, Bregman buddy, you know, don't you love playing here? And I believe he does from everything I've seen. But obviously, money talks at the end of the day. And very few guys are going to take significant discounts, even minor discounts, to play where they want to play, you know, so we'll see. But yeah, what's your prediction for tomorrow? What do you think this game between Fitz and Kikuchi is going to look like?
I think it's going to be low scoring. Again, two bad offenses. So I see this one kind of being like a 4-2 final. I hope it's in our favor, but I would not be surprised if it goes the other way. So I think either way, it's going to be low scoring, you know, day game after a late night game, that kind of thing. Guys are going to be a little groggy. So it'll be kind of a sleepy game, low scoring, you know. I hope it goes our way, but I'm not optimistic.
Yeah, it'll be tough. You know, Kikuchi, I think if you look at the underlying metrics, he's a guy you can hit. But this offense, I mean, I don't know if they could hit, you know, the broadside of a barn right now. It's tough. You're really counting on guys like Ref Snyder and Romy, the sort of lefty assassins, you know, as they're called, to really just have a good game. And if they don't, it's going to be really hard for the rest of the offense, I feel, to elevate. You know, we don't necessarily have that depth. Hopefully Narvaez should be back in the order. We have a day off the next day, so I guess Chapman could be available theoretically, although I don't want to work him into the ground, certainly. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to be optimistic. I'll say we'll have a win. I agree with you. I don't think this is going to be an offensive powerhouse either way, but, you know, it can be one of those games, like you said, after a night game, you go to a day game, and you never know. Something weird could happen, and suddenly it's you know, Mike Trout and Jaron Duran are hitting moonshots, you know. But we'll see. The only way to know for sure is to watch the game, of course. And, you know, we'll have our commentary afterwards. Not us tomorrow. I forget who's on tomorrow. I just start writing that down so I can announce it.
Yeah.
But for right now, thank you guys so much for joining us. Sorry that you had to stay up late for all of this, you know. You saw Crochet pitch a gem, and just pretend the game ended after that. Pretend it got rained out or something. I've been Nick, joined by Jason. We've been the Bastards of Boston, and we will see you next time. Take care, everyone.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.